Good morning. This morning's reading is Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. On a beautiful Welsh morning. We start a new series this morning called What Kind of Church? Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for being here. Those who are joining us online, thank you for connecting with us online. It means the world to Sue and me to be able to meet with you and actually talk about what it is we're trying to be here at Tabs Penarth. Tabs, I've mentioned before, has got such a rich heritage. It's been a church that has been a source of blessing to this community over many years. And as we start this new series together, as we start this new year, 2024, can you believe, we're in already, I thought I'd take us back to those essential questions as to why do we do what we do. It's friendship, I know, is a big part of what we do. And as we come together and you connect and we laugh and we sometimes cry together, it's about family. But I'm going to suggest that it's actually far more important than that, as important as that is. Because when we look outside, and you don't have to look very far, you see so much pain. I'm going to suggest to you that you see open wounds of people bleeding. There is so much chaos. There is so much fear. There is so much uncertainty. And of course, you can have these wonderful devices now where you just pick up your phone and there's a news feed and there's another bad story that just hits the headline. And I'm going to suggest to you that there's never been a time that's more essential for the church to be church. And for us actually to stand up and be the people that God has called us to be. Our world desperately needs healing from its brokenness. And we know the person that can actually heal. We know the person who can actually give hope where there's despair. We know the person who's touched our lives and has brought us up out of the pit and actually made us feel whole and welcome. His name is Jesus. And we exist as a church to honour and glorify him, yes, but we exist as a church as well to make sure that as many people of our family and friends and work colleagues and neighbours, that they get the chance to meet him. I've shared with you before that I thank God for the people who dared to share Jesus with me when, frankly, I didn't give God much thought at all. But the reality is that the church out there doesn't think that it needs the church. The world out there doesn't think it needs the church. In this series, we're using the material from the Evangelical Alliance, a body that we've been part of as a church here at TABS since 1985. They seek to help churches continue in their basis of faith, being people of the gospel, that look to put Jesus at the centre of everything. That's why we're part of that body. And over this series, we'll see some videos, and I hope that you'll connect in your small groups as well to ask these questions about what kind of church is God calling us to. Well, one of the things they say in this material is this, and the next slide will have it. It says, we're becoming, and we are being moved from the centre, talking about the church, we're being moved from the centre to the margins. Would you agree with that? We live in a rapidly secularizing culture where the ideas of one complete story that shapes life, a clear moral code that applies to all people and sin, and the need for forgiveness are all treated with huge skepticism. Would you agree? I want us now just to have a look at this video that's going to introduce the series to us, and it's entitled Everything Has Changed.
The landscape changes, everything changes, church changes. Think of this church. 50 years ago, people were gathering, doors were open, hymns were being sung, people were praying, we were trying to live out faith as a community of God's people. Now the doors are closed, the scaffolding's up, the windows are broken. The landscape has changed. The problem is, many of us didn't realise that the landscape was changing. Or, frightened by the change, we didn't know what to do anymore. And so we just sit back, hope for the best. God has called us to be a people for this day, this generation, this age, to live out grace and mercy, a culture of the kingdom for today. This is our challenge. What kind of church is it that makes a difference for today? Not 50 years ago, not 10 years ago, not even a year ago, but right now. What does it mean to be someone who carries the culture of the kingdom of God for this generation, whatever God has placed you? What does it look like when the people of God in a place come together, gather together, and live out their faith? Relevant, powerful, transformational, the people of God for this day. What kind of church changes a nation? What do you need to do in the midst of the landscape changes to be faithful, grace-filled, and transformational? That's a challenge for us all, God's missionary people.
The title this morning is Everything's Changed. Anybody remember those phones? I think we had one of those phones. We had one of those phones, okay, that when you picked it up, sometimes you'd hear somebody else speaking on it. Okay, because they were called party lines, I think. It's a different day now, isn't it? And do you remember these things on the street? They were red boxes and you used to go into them and sometimes you used to play games of how many you could get into one of those red boxes. I remember doing that with a youth group once. We got 12. Six came out alive. Everything has changed, and the phones are a good example of what a transformation there's been there in terms of technology. There was a time, as you know, I didn't go to church when I was a child. My parents weren't Christians. But I knew something of Jesus because in school they would talk to us about Jesus. In assembly, every day they would talk to us. You're now in a situation where the vast majority of children don't know anything about Jesus. Over 90% of people in this country do not darken the door of a church apart from a funeral or a wedding. We this morning are a small group of people that's quite representative of what's happening in society. You know that the vast majority of family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, they don't get it. They don't understand why they need to go to church. And churches have been closing at an unprecedented rate. When I was acting regional minister in South Wales, before I went off to Oxfordshire, the record of church closures in Wales is terrifying. It's not much better in England, but it's worse in Wales. That image of that beautiful church that was now closed is a reality across our land. And I don't want this to be a series about how depressed can we get. There's enough depressing things out there. You see, because I absolutely believe to the core of my being that when God says, I will build my church, he was serious. And I do believe again that he's waiting for a bunch of people to take him at his word and actually be the kind of church he wants, which becomes so attractive because people can see the light and taste the salt in us that they think we need more of that. Would you agree? Let me tell you a story. It's a strange old story, but I like it. And it's of some parents who had two children. They've got young children, and one of the children was unbelievably positive, saw the good in everything, and I just got excited about most things. And then they had another child who wasn't quite like that, and never really was that grateful or whatever. You know, kids are kids. We've got three, and they're all very different. Well, anyway, the parents thought that they would actually have a bit of an experiment one Christmas. And so what they decided to do in a very strange way is that they decided to load up one of the children, the one who wasn't so positive, they'd fill his stocking with all kinds of amazing things. But for the other one, who was incredibly positive, they actually just put manure in that stocking. And as a parent, I've already got all kinds of questions going in my head. But anyway, this is what they did. And anyway, on Christmas morning, the child who had these incredible toys said thank you, but actually what didn't seem incredibly moved. But the child that had the manure in their stocking was bouncing around so excited. And the parents said, what's the matter with you? And they said, well, there's got to be a pony around you somewhere. I need to let you know that you have a pastor and I serve amongst the leadership that believes there's a pony around you somewhere. I don't believe that actually this downward trend of people not finding Jesus is something that's in the plan of God. I don't believe that at all. And actually when you look worldwide and you see the incredible growth of the church in different parts of the world, you just think, thank you God, but please, would you bring some of that to the West? Would you bring some of that to Wales? And that's why we exist. But we need to recognize that the landscape has changed. I remember when I was involved in some young people's work down in Tynmouth many years ago now, we decided that we would do some drama around Genesis. And so we actually before we used the word Genesis, I said to the young sisters, can anybody here tell me what the first book of the Bible is? And this hand went up from this 12-year-old. I know the answer to that one. She said, it's Guinness. I said, very close, it's Genesis. You see, but that's the level of ignorance out there. And so when we talk about introducing people to Jesus now, where they're starting from is way further back than where we were when we were kids. Because we had some basic grounding. And they talk about it as post-modernity, as this post-modern world where people don't grow up with the teachings of Jesus. And so when you look at that landscape, you think to yourself, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to repeat what I said on the Church Day Away, and thank you for so many of you coming to that Church Day Away. If you remember, we started the day off by reminding ourselves of a story of Elisha. Elisha wakes up one morning, his servant goes out to get the latte and the cappuccino and he sees this army, this massive Syrian army, and he thinks, oh my word, what are we going to do? And Elisha was totally unfazed. And then we have these beautiful words. I think it's coming up next, actually, Dee. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And that is my prayer for me and for you. That God would give us eyes of faith that sees the things that the natural eye can't see. We know what we see with the natural eye. And we mustn't be blind to it. And we mustn't actually become so accustomed to the pain and the anguish out there that we turn away from it. That is not what that's not the place of the church. For us as a church is to immerse ourselves in it. Something that we can be very proud of as a church is our association with Food Bank in this town for many, many years. We do it with your support, but we do it with the support of others across the town. And there are others more qualified than I to talk about it, but when you actually see the way that you practically minister to people on the margins, that's moving. And so we must have our eyes open to what is happening in the world, but we also must have our spiritual eyes opened, that when we see the problems, we see the one who can solve those problems. Elisha's servant was panicking, because he saw the real threat of this army. Elisha was at peace because he could see all the resources of God. And he said, open his eyes. And he could see then this angelic host that were able to rescue them from the enemy. I've been on the planet long enough to not play pretend. I don't ever try and play pretend. As a church, we've gone through the most horrible year last year. I don't ever want to go through a year like that again. We mustn't pretend it didn't happen. It did happen. What is the Lord teaching us through things like that? But what I do believe is that God is working here. And that God is on the move. And that actually, if God's people were prepared to just wait and actually just say, Lord, how do you want to use me in this period for this generation? I believe that God will speak. The challenges are real. But I tell you what, we have some verses in scripture which says something like, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And the answer, of course, is no. I take great comfort that actually if he could come into the heart of this 15-year-old boy who knew nothing about God, he can come into the heart of anybody. I've shared with you that my father was a big man, big strong man, in all kinds of sense. He was a physically very strong guy. When he was younger, to earn some extra money, he was a bouncer at the local dance hall. And he seemed to enjoy fighting more than dancing. That was the kind of guy he was. He was a rough, tough, Welsh miner's son. And then Jesus came into his life and he became a dove. There was still steel in there. but it was shaped in a different forge. There was something so beautiful in my father. Transformational. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. If we create the space for him to move. There's a number of things that are in that video that I thought would be worth looking at again. Here are some of the things that caught my eye. He says, how do we carry the culture of God for this generation? Another one, how can we be relevant, powerful, and transformational? They're great questions, aren't they? What kind of church changes a nation? And another one, which is more personal, what do we need to do? I want to look at that first, if we may. How do we carry the culture of God for this generation? And I want to start by just being very real again, is by having a different culture. Next slide, please, Dee. We start by having a different culture. We asked Yestin to read that passage this morning because it talks about how society shapes the church. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to be squeezed into the mold of society. You have to be distinct. You have to have a different culture. In Romans 12, let's remind ourselves what it says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Anybody agree with those verses? Do not conform. And then from other translations, this is from the NLT. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Would you agree with that as a good translation? And then this is another one. This is from the Phillips version. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. And I can't read that verse without thinking about when our children were very young and we had Play-Doh. Anybody like playing with Play-Doh? Okay, and when I was a kid, you had Play-Doh, and then you used to make shapes with your hand. I think you still do that, but now they've gone really high-tech. And you used to have these little, I don't know, little bits of equipment. You put the Play-Doh in, and you pull the handle, and it would all come out in different shapes. What contraption are you living with that is shaping you? That's the question I was asking myself. Sue reckons that I'm attached to my phone and it would have to be surgically removed from me, okay? Because I'm forever looking at my phone. And I thank God for this technology. It's allowed us to access so much information. But so much of what comes through my phone is from a different mold to the one that God has created. It's from the world's culture. And then we have to filter that culture and see how does that measure up to what God thinks. Martin Luther King, a hero of mine, he says this, on some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity comes along and asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And you see, and what molds us needs to be right. May not be easy, may not be popular, may not win us the votes. But the question is this world needs people to stand up for what is right. I don't think that there is any coincidence in the fact that our nation seems to have never been so poor, and the fact that so many people no longer know anything about God. God wants to bring people life. And yet so few people understand that. So how do we find out if something's right? Well, we find out in his word. Which is why his word, the Bible, which is why the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from his word. I must be honest, I don't know where I would be, literally, without God's word. I can't think of starting a day without getting first into his words. The first thing I do. Not true, actually. I put the kettle on. I don't think I could survive without at least 28 cups of tea in the morning. So I have my cup of tea, and I sit down, and I get into God's word. Why do I do that? It's because I know that if I want to be truly alive that day, I need to allow God to shape my life that day. So, how do we carry the culture of God for this generation? We need to have a different culture, and we do that by digging deep. Next slide, please, Dee. We need to dig deep into God's word. We need to have a distinctive God-shaped culture that is thoroughly biblical. I'm going to offer something to you now, because it's at these moments your heart starts to get a bit worried, because you start to get guilty, because you think, oh my word, I'm not in God's word enough. So I don't want you to feel guilt. The enemy wants you to feel guilt. I want you to feel hope. I want you to feel hope that actually I can do something. At the beginning of the new year, I can do something. And one of the ways I want to offer you something in terms of getting into God's word is, any of you part of WhatsApp groups? A WhatsApp group is a way of communicating with people who agree to be part of a particular group on your phone. I've started a new WhatsApp group, and it's called Blessed in the Word. And I'm going to send out every morning a particular verse that has blessed me. And if you want to send in on that WhatsApp group a verse that has blessed you, then I'd love you, please, to have a word with me over tea and coffee as to whether or not you'd like to join that group. And all you need is a mobile phone that can access WhatsApp for that, okay? So I want to invite anybody to be part of that WhatsApp group. Because it's amazing how God's word is so relevant at just the right time. How many times have you found that, where you've been seeking God, and all of a sudden a verse comes in and you go, oh my word. It's almost as if God knew. And of course he does know. The other thing that I would encourage you to do, and I think I've got a picture of this coming up, is I use that Bible app. That's what I do in the morning. I have my cup of tea and I open my Bible app, and the one I use is YouVersion. And so I read scripture. I have a reading plan. Some of you use YouVersion. I've used so many plans. I mean, hundreds of plans I've used over the time. The plan I'm using at the moment is Scripture in the Year. And what it does, it just helps you and guides you through Bible passages. Because some of you will say to me, I don't know where to read. I don't know where to start. And I say, well, take the thinking, the wondering out of that. Just let the app show you where you're going to go next. And I would just encourage you, please. I know this isn't very exciting and whatever about new things or whatever, but I do feel that this technology that we have really does help us to get into God's word. And you can choose which version you like to read. I use the New International Version. I also like the New Living Translation. Sometimes I will actually read it from the Message paraphrase, because it's slightly different. The important thing is that God just wants us to get us into his word. I was saying to the leadership team that I really believe that there's a wave of God coming, not just upon us as a church, but actually upon the churches in Penarth. And our job is not to make the waves. Our job is to be ready to catch them. And the way that we're ready to catch them is by allowing God to speak to us through his word. So there's a couple of things there. One, join the WhatsApp group with me. Secondly, get yourself an app. Or if you're not into that kind of technology, just set aside a time every day where you will get into the written word. But the third thing I would say, and I would encourage you to do all of these three things, like the Holy Trinity for me, find some friends who you can read God's word with. And it's so easy to do that now. And so if you can find another couple of people, and just say, right, okay, we're going to read God's word together. You can do that on Zoom. You can do it together over a coffee. You can do it through WhatsApp. Whichever way you do it, I'd encourage you to do those things. Can I just say, though, that, and I know that my good friend John James would say this, is that when we read the Word, we must ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it. As he would say, all Word and we dry up, all Spirit and we blow up, Spirit and Word and we grow up. And so when I come to God's Word, I always ask him, Lord, remember that I'm blind without you enabling me to see. So would you help me to see what you have for me in your Word today? God wants us to be a people of his Word. He wants us, I believe, to be a prophetic people. I do believe that he wants us to speak out against the culture that is so opposed to the things of God. That actually when people come here, they know actually that we stand foursquare on what Scripture teaches. And that is so countercultural today. I get that, which is not going to make me popular, but I never came into this role to be popular. I do believe that God has called us into this role to be faithful to what he's teaching. So, let's have a look at these slides if we can, please, Dee. How can we be relevant, powerful, and transformational? What kind of church changes a nation? What do we need to do? We need to be people who actually believe what we say we believe and know what we say we know. And we do that by very practically giving God space day by day. I'm going to finish by just watching another little video from the series. It's called Liminal.
People who were in a stage of transformation. They had reached the age where they were no longer children, but they hadn't reached the age where they were regarded as adults. They were in that in-between time. And so they were sent out into the jungle to survive by themselves for a while. Some, as soon as they got into the jungle, wanted to go back to the way things used to be, to the old rules and the old status. Others, paralyzed by fear, didn't do anything, just sat in the jungle and waited for goodness knows what. But some really flourished. When there was no rules from the past, they were able to set up their own rules, dream their own dreams, let their imaginations flourish. They could be whatever they wanted to be. They could name whatever they wanted to name. It was their threshold or lemon moment, an opportunity to fulfill their imaginations and the dreams of their hearts. As we look at church, we can see that the old ways we've been doing things don't work any longer. But many of us want to hold on to them, keep waiting for them to get better. Others of us are paralyzed by fear, not quite sure what to do next. But for some, maybe you, this is your threshold moment. Your opportunity to dream dreams, to let your imagination go wild, to ask, what is it like for me to be a kingdom carrier in this generation? What could I do? What might happen? What risks can I take? The old rules are gone, I can set up my own rules. I wonder what step you could take today to begin to fulfill the dream that God has placed in your heart. This is your threshold moment, your opportunity, your chance to dream, your chance to imagine, your chance to break through. What kind of church transforms a nation? A church full of people excited by the possibilities of the new, where their threshold becomes an opportunity for abundance. This is your chance. Why don't you do something radical today that begins to make the dream a reality?
Was I the only one who was wondering when's he going to throw the snowball? These are our moments. When you're a pastor and you've been involved in as many funerals as I have, you very quickly have very serious conversations at home about not having tomorrow. You don't even have this afternoon, you have now. And that's just reality, that's just being honest, it's being real. And the question is how much of God has got of me now? And how much do I want to give to God? And how much of His plans, rather than my limited plans, do I want to follow? I do believe that this is a threshold moment. And I do believe that we have others here who are desperately trying to find the pony. See, because when we dare to believe that God is serious about what He wants to do through His church and through people like us, it then starts to become an expectation that He will do things rather than the fears that He won't. As I've been getting to know and love so many of you, know that you've got a heart for reaching this community. You long for your family. Your heart aches for so many that you've been praying for so many years. Well, let's dare to believe that God, through us, as we create space for Him, He won't do it by just allowing us to continue as we were. We need to change, and we need to create more space for Him so that He can shape our culture, that we can be shaped according to His pattern and not the world's. Shall we pray? Father, thank You that You have such a love for Your world. We thank You, Your world is beautiful, but Lord, do we mess it up. And so, Father, we pray today that You would help us as a church to know what kind of church we want to be. A church where You are at the center. A Father, where Your love permeates everything that we do, think, and say. Would You please help us to get serious about creating space for You? We live busy lives, and the enemy would keep us busier than ever. But Father, You have called us to a particular life. Help us not to miss it. Help us to not settle for good when You've called us to something that is incredible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just pray God's blessing on you. Father, thank You for one another. Thank You for this time again, as we're able to worship You in song through the reading of Your word and as we listen to You. Father, we pray that this week that You would help us to connect with You more. Allow You to shape us. And Father, we pray more than anything, would You help us to be a source of blessing wherever we go? Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.